So we're in Matthew chapter 20. We're going to look at the first 8 verses together. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We'll stand together for the reading of God's Word. Read these verses responsively as we typically do on a Sunday morning. Matthew chapter 20, I'll begin in verse 1. I'll ask you to join me in every other verse, and we'll go down to verse 8. And then that'll be our scripture reading for this morning. Matthew 20, I'll begin in verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Together in verse 8. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And let's pray. Father, I pray now that you would help us. Lord, we somewhat of a lengthy announcement time talking about our spring program and things we're trying to do here. Lord, our heart's desire, I trust this is true about every one of us. Our heart's desire, Lord, is to use our lives to serve you, to please you, to honor you. Lord, none of us have it all figured out. None of us are some great gift to God. What we are just born-again people who should strive to live for you and serve you and love you and please you with our lives. May that be the testimony of each of us this morning. Bless our time here now in the preaching of your word. Speak to every one of our hearts. We ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Now this is a kind of a strange account the Lord gives us, because it really doesn't go. Humanly speaking, things don't turn out to how we'd think they would turn out. But he's teaching us, I think, some important truths here. So in this particular account, there are 5 groups of laborers that are going to be sent out into a vineyard. The first group the Bible talks about there in verse number 1, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. So that would be at the beginning of the day, and the beginning of their day would be 6 a.m. So the first group, the first group goes out at 6 a.m. And then he goes out, the Bible says, 3 hours later. So there's a second group that goes out at 9 a.m. So the first group is at 6 a.m., out, light of day, out there working in the vineyard. Next group goes out at 9 a.m. Then there's a third group that goes out at noon. Then a fourth group that goes out at 3 p.m. And then a fifth group that goes out at 5 p.m. Now, in this setting, 6 a.m. was the beginning time always, and 6 p.m. would be the ending time. 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. was basically their work day. And so this group that goes out at 5 p.m., this last group, group number 5, is going to only work for an hour. And then he goes through and explains how this works out and the fact they all get the same amount. Now, for us, that doesn't make sense, but the Lord explains, and there's some great spiritual lessons about this. But we're going to look at it in a particular application as it applies to this idea about to seek and to save. So you have 5 groups of laborers going out at different times, starting at 6 a.m., then at 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., and then at 5 p.m. Now, as we consider these 5 groups, here's what I want you to understand first. I want you to understand what does not matter. Okay, here's what does not matter. It does not matter, based on what the Lord's going to do here and teach us here, it does not matter when they went out. The 6 a.m. all the way to the 5 p.m., that's not what matters in this situation. Nor does it matter what group they were in. It doesn't matter if they were in that first group at 6 a.m. or they're the group that went out at noon or one of the other groups. That didn't matter. It did not matter what they specifically did when they went into the vineyard. Now, my guess is this. I've never worked a vineyard per se, but I've worked some out in the farm, and I can tell you this. When you go out in the farm and work, especially an all-day job, the job tends to change throughout the day. So what you might have done early at 6 a.m. or 9 a.m. may not be what you're doing at 3 p.m. or 5 p.m. So my guess is that they would have done different jobs based on what time they showed up. And typically, also speaking, if you're there at 5 p.m. and you're going to be done at 6, you're probably in the cleanup crew. You're probably not in the let's start a new job crew. You're in the let's finish this and clean everything up crew. And so it didn't matter necessarily when they went. It didn't necessarily matter what group they were in. It didn't matter, again, according to this account, what specifically they did when they were out there. Now watch this. And it didn't really matter how long they were there. But there is something that did matter. And the one thing that matters in this account, the thing the Lord is focusing on, is that each of these groups went into the vineyard. That's what matters in this story, that they went into the vineyard. Look back with me at verse 2. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Look at verse 4. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard. Look at verse 5. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. In other words, he hired them and told them to go into the vineyard. Look at verse 7. They say unto him, because no man hath hired us, he saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard. So the thing that mattered in this whole account of these five groups going at different times, most likely doing different things, was that they actually went into the vineyard. Now let's transition how this applies to us in a spiritual application. The most important part of working in God's field, in God's work, following the Lord, the most important part of working in God's field is the same, that we go. Going with a good testimony helps, and I would highly encourage it. Going cheerfully helps. Going consistently and faithfully helps. But it's all predicated on going. If you have a great, good testimony, that's important. But it's having a good testimony as you go into the field. Having a cheerful, a joyful attitude about the work of God, that's great as you go into the field. Being consistent and faithful is important as you go into the field. So the going is the important part of this. Everything is predicated on the going. In fact, now as we again make another step of transition, as we think about this idea about soul winning, about evangelism, about reaching the lost, going is the requirement, the important part of all that we're talking about. When we think about the Great Commission, in Matthew 28, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Now that's important, but notice the very first word, go ye therefore. The Bible says you got to go. If you're going to do this, you have to go and do this. Mark 16, another giving of this Great Commission, he said unto them, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You have to go into the world if you're going to get them the gospel. Now many, this is not new, but many of them will tell you that what's the first two letters of the word gospel? G-O, go. You go with the gospel. So the whole idea is going with the gospel to this lost world. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the whole idea of soul winning. Going with the gospel to God's fields, and the field is the world, with the gospel. Going into the fields with the gospel. Now I want to give this to you because I think this becomes a hang up for some of us. There may be better ways to go. Well, you know, I think you ought to, when you go soul winning, this is how you ought to do it. No, this is how you ought to do it. There are better ways to go. I would agree. There are more productive ways to go. There are more effective ways to go. There are more efficient ways to go. But the key is to go. Sometimes we argue so much about how to go that we never go. We just sit around and talk about how to do it. The goal is to go. That's the key. Now, you can learn as you go, but you ought to be going as you're learning. Well, when I figure it all out, when I really understand all the great doctrines of the Bible, when I really understand what it means to Christian life, then I'm going to go soul winning. No, you're not. Because you're already living in rebellion because you already know you're supposed to and you're not going. So rebellion is rebellion. Disobedience is disobedience. Obedience is obedience, and going is the obedience. So yes, you can learn as you go. You can learn about the Lord and learn about all these other things, but you ought to be going as you're learning about the Lord. Let me just give you, for many of you, this is a reminder, but it's my testimony, and I'm going to share it with you. This is how the Lord worked, kind of worked in my life. I'm going to give it to you two different times in this message. I'm going to give it to you part of it now and part of it later. I started out going as a teenager. Here's how I started going. I started going first time because Brother Choma was my Sunday school teacher. Now I know what you're thinking. He doesn't look that old. He surprisingly looks young for his age, does he not? No, it wasn't this Brother Choma. It was this Brother Choma's father. His dad was my Sunday school teacher when I was a teen. And at that time, Kelly wasn't even saved. He was probably in, what was that? Bahá'í Faith. He was doing something else. He wasn't saved. He was on the prayer list. I remember them saying, you know, pray for my son. He's a wicked heathen, needs to get saved, or something like that, something loving like that. But his dad was my Sunday school teacher. And his dad came to me and said, hey, I need someone to go with me to make some Sunday school visits. Okay, fine. And I went, and here's what I did. Here's my great job going with his dad. Ready? I went like this. Okay, we're done with that visit. Let's go to the next one. Okay. But he was encouraging me to go. I understand now what he was doing. Then I was like, I don't see my part in this, really. I mean, I'm not the one driving. I'm not the one talking. I don't even know where we're going. We just show up, and he says, okay, let's go here. But that's how I started. I just started making these visits, I think, for a couple different times with him, a couple different weeks, maybe more than that. I remember it wasn't a whole lot, but I do remember going out with him. The second thing the Lord began now using in my life was we're having this revival, and it was Bill Pennell, I believe it was, and we're having this revival at our church. This isn't the Joe Boyd revival I talk about sometimes. This is before that. And so Bill Pennell was coming, and my pastor said, hey, I got a stack of flyers. I need people to just hand them out. So I said, well, I can do that. That time I had my gold little Volkswagen Beetle, and so I drove to church and got a stack of them. He told me where to go, and I just put them on doors. And that's all I did. I just put them on doors, put them on the screen door, and went to this neighborhood and handed them out and gave them out. Now, that's how I started in this. Now, you may say, well, that's not doing a whole lot, and I agree, that's not a whole lot, but watch this. But I was going. And I say this, and I'm not trying to be arrogant when I say it. Trust me, that's not my point. I'm trying to make a point about going. I was going while many others were not going. You say, well, you didn't do a lot. I agree. But I was doing more than those who weren't going. And so the key is, if we're going to think about reaching a lost world with the gospel, we have to understand that everything is predicated on this idea of going with the gospel and taking the gospel to a lost world. So the question then becomes this morning, then what can we do? That's the title of the message. What can we do to labor in this vineyard or in this field that the Lord has for us? What can we do? So I want to bring us now back to our text and share with you, I think, three things we can see from our text, what we can do about going with the gospel. Here's the first thing I'd bring your attention to. Look with me in verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. The first thing I'd bring your attention to, number one, is this. Now, the obvious is go, but we're going to back up just for a second and then kind of go back into this idea about going. So number one is this: we can recognize God's plan. as believers, we have to understand what the Lord is doing. Let me ask you this, okay? We're on a Sunday morning. It looks like, you know what it looks like this morning? It looks like everyone's lost an hour of sleep for some reason. It's almost like you're like an hour behind me. So I don't want to wait an hour for you to catch up. So I'll slow down at least a little bit. So here we go. Is there a God in heaven?
Yes.
Okay, you're still half asleep. Let's try this again. Is there a God in heaven?
Yes.
Yes, there is.
Okay. Does this God in heaven have a sense of humor?
Yes, he does.
Yes, yes, he does. It's a good thing for us, isn't it? Let me put this back on. So, is there a God in heaven?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any place we can go to understand maybe what the Lord is trying to do? Okay. Literally, church, yes. But I mean, something tangible we can put in our hands? The Bible, okay? So we can go to the Word of God. We can study God's Word and try to figure out what He's up to. Because this God in heaven has a plan. You know, we were seeing all the orchids yesterday. And, I took a picture of this plaque because here's what it said. It talked about how all these different orchids were. Every place in the world has orchids except Antarctica. I guess, I mean, who wants to go to Antarctica and find out? Maybe they just figure, we just assume there's none there. And so every continent has orchids. And they made this statement that many orchids are pollinator specific. In other words, a certain insect or a certain bird is the only thing that can pollinate that particular orchid. And here's what I said to Brother Gassler. I said, isn't it amazing that they evolved at the same time? Or was there a God in heaven who knew what he was doing? So there's a God in heaven. He has a plan. He has all this figured out. He created the world. He has a plan for us as his people to try to reach a lost world. And so he has this plan. And we as his people have to recognize his plan. A lot of times we come up with our plan and they can't figure out why it's not working. Lord, how come you're not doing what I'm telling you to do? And the Lord's like, because that doesn't work that way. I have a plan. You need to do what my plan is. So we need to recognize God's plan in this. The Bible tells us that it is, look back at verse 1, to hire laborers into his vineyard. It's his vineyard. And if we apply it now back to the Lord, this is his work, his job, his field, his vineyard. So we are called to be laborers in God's vineyard, in God's work. So God's plan is to send us as his people, as born-again believers, God's plan is to send us as laborers into his work. That's what God's plan is. So the Lord tells us that he has left us in this world, not to be of this world. Now watch this, not to conquer this world, but to go into this world with the gospel. That's why we're in here, the world, to go into the world with the gospel. Now, it's important we understand what God's plan is in this. Our job as his people is to fulfill God's plan for God's work. Not our plan, his plan. So what is his plan? Well, John 20 says this. John 20, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Well, how did the Father send the Son? As my Father sent me, however the Father sent the Son is sending us. Well, Luke 19:10, which gives us really our title of the whole series. For the Son of Man is come, watch this, to seek and to save that which was lost. How did the Father send the Son? He sent the Son into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. How does the Father send us into the world to seek and to save? Now, we don't physically save them that way, spiritually save them. We tell them of Jesus who can save them, but we are seeking them and trying to see them saved. That's what the Son has sent us. We go with the gospel. Now, let me throw this in because this is what I want you to understand. Because I'm going to tell you this. This becomes a hindrance, this becomes a problem among believers, especially as we become concerned about the world. We come up with plans to help the world, but it's not God's plan. And this is what gets us in trouble. Now watch what I tell you. Now listen carefully about this. God's plan for the church age. This is the age we live in, age of the local New Testament church. We call that the church age. God's plan for the church age is the spreading of the gospel. Now watch, not the establishing of a kingdom. Well, we need to establish God's kingdom on this earth. No, we don't. That is not what God has not called us to establish his kingdom. God has called us into the lost world of the gospel. Now, we can hopefully build a church as far as the Lord using us, hopefully, but we're not establishing his kingdom. This world we live in is anti-Christ, anti-Bible, anti-God, and it will always be that way until Jesus comes. Well, Pastor White, I just believe the Bible talks about there's going to be a kingdom. Again, why we always use Southern hillbilly voices, I do not know, but it works for me. I just think God's going to, you know what, I believe the Bible too. God, Jesus Christ himself will come on this earth and will establish a kingdom. Jesus will come and establish his kingdom. I don't establish his kingdom. You don't establish his kingdom. He will come and he will rule with a rod of iron, and every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. No one's going to rebel against him and overthrow him. He himself, for 1,000 years, will rule on this earth and establish his kingdom. That is not the age we live in. We don't live in the millennial reign of Christ age. We live in a church age where our job is to go to a lost world with the gospel and tell everyone we can how they can be saved. Many don't want to hear. Many could care less. That's not on us. Our job is to keep going out into the vineyard. Keep going out into the vineyard. Keep going out into the vineyard. That is God's plan, God's program for the church age, to take the gospel into the lost world. So God's plan for you and God's plan for me is to be a laborer in God's field now. That's number one. So, what can we do? Well, we can recognize what God's plan is, which brings us, obviously, to the second point. Number two is this: we can go into God's vineyard. Go back with me to verse 2 of our text, chapter 20. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny, he sent them into his vineyard. We can go into God's vineyard. Every believer can do something to get the gospel out to a lost world. Every believer can do something to get the gospel out to a lost world. Now I want you to notice this. There are people at Grace Baptist Church in North Ridgeville, this great mega church here located on Center Ridge Road. There are people at Grace Baptist Church who were saved because someone knocked on their door and witnessed to them. And they got saved through the ministry of Grace Baptist Church. Now, that requires a soul winner, and that requires a silent partner. Sometimes we think, if I'm not the one talking, then it doesn't matter. It does matter, because we have to send people out two by two. It's for safety's sake, for accountability's sake, and just really, that's kind of how they were sent out, Jesus and his disciples out, his apostles out, two by two. It's a good pattern to follow. I don't think it's a sin if one person knocks on a door. I don't just think it's the best thing. So we send people out two by two. When I went with Brother Choma's father, we went out two by two. When I went out with my pastor as a teenager, went out two by two. When I went out with my other Sunday school teacher, Brother Danny Golden, went out two by two. And I can tell you this, in almost all those cases, I never did the talking. Now watch this, but when people got saved, I'm going to get some of the reward. Because we went out two by two. I went out. Some people say, well, you know, I'm scared to talk to anyone. Okay, I understand that getting into it. A lot of times, once you do it for a while, it just becomes second nature, old hat to you. But if you're scared just to do the talking, let me tell you what can be a big help. Go with someone who can do the talking. You know, think about it this way. If I got two people who can knock on doors and do the talking, and those only two show up, they have to go together. But if I can get two more people who can't do anything but stand there and keep their mouth shut, now I got two groups. I have doubled the impact of those soul winners. So a silent partner plays a pivotal, an important part in this. So there are people at Grace who have been saved because someone knocked on the door and witnessed. There are people at Grace Baptist Church who got saved simply because someone left a track on their door. It might have been a John or Roman, something like that. They left some type of gospel literature on their door. They came home, they found it, and then they came here and got saved. Now, there are people, and I'm not trying to be ugly or unkind or impolite, but there are some people who say, well, Pastor White, I don't see any value of just leaving a track on someone's door. If you're not really talking to them, why are you going out? Because there are people who find a gospel track who have either read it and got saved, or read it and said, well, I don't really understand it. Let's go to church and figure it out. And someone witnessed them in church and they got saved through a gospel track. Let me tell you, I think we downplay this way too much. How much this can be an important role. I say this, which I probably shouldn't because it's a lie. Okay, so I say, I don't want to embarrass people, but I always embarrass them, so that's really not true, I guess. So here, we'll talk about the Ellisons. How long ago did you get that on your door? 2 years ago? Several years ago. Someone, I don't know who it was, someone left one of these on their door. After several years of them trying to get rid of it, and it kept showing back up. You know how it is. They threw it away, and it came back around. No, I don't know how it was. And they showed up. No, I don't know who left it. Maybe you do. I don't. Maybe I'll give you the address. Maybe you say, oh, yeah, I remember that. But probably you don't, 2-3 years ago. But someone's going to get a reward for it. So we downplay this. Wait, if we go, and let me tell you, most of the doors I knock on, most of the doors when we've gone out to Avon Lake, most of it, it's just leave a track. Sometimes in our home, sometimes it's as they close the door, you're trying to get it in there before they. Some people are just like, no, thank you. But I count that as a victory. If I can put a gospel track in someone's hand, I count that as a victory. Now, what they do is up to between them and the Lord. But at least I'm trying to make an effort. Hate for anyone to go to hell unwarned. So some people got saved. Someone knocked on the door. Someone got saved because someone left a track on the door. Now watch this. Some have got saved because someone went to someone they knew, invited them to church, and they came and heard the gospel and got saved. Preacher, why we got to have a big day? Why are we trying to get people in? Because people come in and hear the gospel and get saved. Isn't that an amazing thing? People hear the gospel and get saved. In 2020, it still works. So this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to go into the vineyard. We're trying to take the gospel because that's God's plan. That's how God works. So I'm going to tell you again. Every believer can do something to get the gospel out to a lost world. Let me add a little bit to it. Every single person in this church setting right here this morning and in any other morning that we are together, every single person needs to be busy doing something to get the gospel out, somehow, some way. Not this Thursday. A week from this Thursday, we kick off team soul winning again. March 19th, we meet here. We meet here at 7 o'clock. We get out, well, we meet here right before 7 because we're trying to get out at 7. We load the van up. We load the short bus up. We load the bigger, well, I've never used a bigger bus yet, but there's always hope. Okay, we load up. We go out to an area. We call it team zoning. We say, okay, here you go here, here you go here. We drop you off here. We'll go walk down this block. We'll pick you up here in usually about 45 minutes. And we go out and we try to blanket an area. Sometimes we get to talk to people. Sometimes we don't. But it's working together. Everyone can come out and be a part of it. If you know how to talk to someone, we'll put you as someone maybe who's not so good at it, and you can help them. If you're the one who's not so good at it, we'll put you as someone who can. They can help you. Each can bless each other. Now the good thing, maybe a good thing, depends how you look at it, because we're leading up to Easter, we've ordered a whole nother big box full of our Easter tracks, and for the next few Thursdays, all we're going to do is be putting them on doors. If you're that person, and again, I'm not saying this in a condescending or mean way, because I've been there, but if you're that person who says, Pastor White, I hear everything you say, I believe everything you say, but I am scared. I mean, utterly scared to death to talk to someone. I just can't get over it. Okay. Next, the first few Thursdays, all we're doing is what we call tracking or putting a track on all the doors. We're not asking you to talk to anyone. We're not even asking you to knock on the door. Just leave an Easter invite that has the gospel on it at every one of these doors that we're going down. Now, later, next Thursdays after that, we'll go back and then we'll knock the doors and actually try to talk to someone. But the first time through, we're just going to try to blanket it with the gospel. Everyone can do that. That is, that's what I did as a 16-year-old boy, handing these flyers out, just going door to door and didn't talk to anyone. If I can do it at 16, you can do it. We can all do that. There's other things we're going to try. I mentioned a Sunday school hour. I'll tell you this. Next Sunday morning, during the Sunday school hour, we're going to teach you really how to talk to someone about the gospel. Some people say, well, I wish someone could show me. Well, next Sunday morning during Sunday school, we're going to teach you. The whole idea is that we want to be going into his vineyard doing what God has called us to do. We need soul winners. We need silent partners. We need door hangers. We need laborers who will go. Let me say a couple other things, and I got a third point I got to rush to. I do believe that God blesses a soul-winning church. And I do believe that everyone here, now watch this, because this is going to rankle a few. I do believe that everyone here is because we are a soul-winning church. Now, I'm not saying that we are the ones who knocked on your door. But I do believe God blesses a soul-winning church, and that's how he brought you here. God brought you because we went after probably all these people who didn't show up. And here you are looking for a church, and God said, hey, how about trying out Grace? And then you showed up, and you're like, okay, yeah, this works for me. But that's how God works. God blesses a church trying to go out with the gospel with those who have a heart for him. God works that way. But let me make this, I say all that to make this statement, though. But we're not going soul-winning to build the church. Understand that? We're not going soul winning to build the church. We're going soul winning because God commands us to go. So we go soul winning to obey our Lord. God builds his church. Let me give you the third point. So we can recognize God's plan. We can go into God's vineyard. Now I want you to notice the third thing. Go back with me to chapter 20. Look with me in verse 10. Now, for our scripture reading, we started at verse 8, so we didn't really cover this aspect of it. But notice, and my guess is humanly you probably could have figured out that those who work from 6 to 6 probably aren't happy with those who work 5 to 6. Look with me in verse 10. Because he starts with those who only worked an hour, and he works backwards of those who worked 12 hours. And they all get the same amount. So that brings us to chapter 20, verse 10. But when the first came, those who showed up at 6 a.m. and worked till 6 p.m. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. Now, a penny not in our money. In their money, a penny was a day's wage. Okay, so it's hard to grab because we think of a penny as 1 cent, but it's a day's wage. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these have wrought but 1 hour. And thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. That's important. I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto the last, even as unto thee. Notice what the good man said. I do thee no wrong. So here's the third thought. We can recognize his plan. His plan is not to build his kingdom, but to take the gospel into a lost world. Number two, we can go into God's vineyard. And then number three is this. We can trust God to properly reward us, whatever that means. We don't sit there and try to negotiate a contract. We say, Lord, I'm going to serve you, and I trust that you will do me right, because God is not going to do me wrong. This is what the cross tells me. God's going to do me right, much better than I deserve. Many of our excuses for not soul winning are actually statements of unbelief. It's a lack of faith, not a lack of ability, that keeps us from soul winning. People say statements like this. This is what I'm talking about. Well, Pastor White, I don't have the personality. I don't have the clever words like so-and-so. They have this golden tongue. Boy, they know how to talk to people. I know people like that. I mean, they have no strangers. Everyone, they just go up. My mom was that way. My mom would, I would be with my mom, even up later in life, and probably a few years before she died, she'd go into a store and just start talking to people. And I would say later to her, I say, Mom, I don't know, who is that person? Because it's like she knew him all of her life. And she says, I don't know, I just met her. That was my mom. My mom was that type of a person. She was just someone who could talk to people, who was personable that way. I did not get that from my mom. I don't have that personality. I don't have that way with words. Everyone to me is a stranger. I mean, even the person, like my wife, who are you? Oh, yeah, everyone's a stranger to me. I'm just not that way. I don't have that type of personality. Maybe that's you. Well, Pastor, I don't have that type of personality. I don't know what to say to people. I can't really do. Now, watch this. You're right. You don't have their personality. You have your personality. And you don't have their words, but you have your words. And that's what you need to use. God rewards each of us based on what he's given each of us, not what he gave someone else. God rewards me based on what he's given me and how I use it, not based on what he gave someone else, but based on what he gave me. God will do us good. We say this. Here's another statement we make. Pastor White, this is not like the 50s. I hope you know this. I mean, people are not like flocking to Jesus today like they did in the 50s. Well, I don't really think they did in the 50s, but we always think there's this golden age. This ain't like the 50s. No one wants to hear it now. Now watch this. We're not sent into a lost world because they want to hear about God. We're sent into a lost world because God wants them to hear about him. Well, what do you do, Pastor White, to those people who, I'm be honest, most people I talk to who aren't interested are still at least nice. Most of them are. They're like, oh, no, sorry, I'm not interested. Very few are really mean. Very, very few. Most people are nice even when they're not interested. How do I, and if you do this a lot, it can, if you wear your feelings on your sleeve, I guess you could feel kind of bad after a while, you know. Not interested, 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 not. How do you deal with that? I'm not sent to people who want to hear. I'm sent to people whom God wants them to hear. How they respond is up to them. My job is just to take the gospel to them. Let me tell you this as well. Most people who aren't interested today may be very interested tomorrow after they've heard it today. It may be sometimes people have to hear the gospel 4 and 5 times before they're like, that is right. That's what I need to do. I need to start thinking about that. And so we go, not because we live in a time when everyone is flocking to Jesus. We live in a time when God wants us to take the word of God to them. And God rewards us based on our obedience, not the results. Here's another statement people make. Well, I can't go every week. My schedule just won't allow it, Pastor White. I can't go out every Thursday. I can't go out every Saturday. Okay. Not going every week is not an excuse for never going. Sometimes we have this mindset. I can't go every Thursday. Can you go that Thursday? Well, yeah. Okay, then go that Thursday. Well, I can't go the next one. Okay, well, what about 5 weeks later? I can go that. Okay, then go that one. If your heart is in it, God will provide the opportunities as he sees fit, and we just obey them accordingly. God rewards based on what we can do, not what we can't do. Now let me get to the end of the message. We had a long, again, announcement time that kind of kicked us a little bit later in the dismissal time, so let's hurry maybe a little bit through the conclusion here. I mentioned in the beginning how the Lord kind of worked in my life as a teenage boy there at Emmanuel Baptist in Morgantown, West Virginia. Let me tell you the other part of it. So, my Sunday school took me out, Brother Choma. I went out with church flyers when Bill Pennell came to have a revival at our church. So now, if you go, probably about maybe push the calendar another 4 or 6 months later. It was a late summer, I think. It might have been early fall, but I'm thinking it was late summer. I don't think school had started yet. It doesn't ring a bell that it did, but may have. It was the late summer, early fall of 81. I'd already been out with my Sunday school teacher, Brother Choma. I'd already handed out flyers for that revival. And my preacher got up on a Sunday morning. And I'm just a bus kid, okay? So I come in on the bus, come in on the bus, sit there with me, Robbie, John, my brother Homer, Frankie, his brother Johnny. We just normally sat there together. We were, just bus kids. All of us were bus kids. There was about a half dozen of us who came out of Maidsville. Probably more than that because his sister and his sister came, my sister came, a few others came. There's maybe 10 of us that came out of Maidsville. So I'm sitting there, just sitting in church. My pastor gets up, Pastor Darnell, and is preaching. I cannot tell you what he preached about, couldn't tell you the text, can't tell you the title, can't tell you anything he said except one statement. In the middle of his sermon, and I don't know, it's amazing how the Lord does this. It's like you're everywhere, and all of a sudden the Lord kind of slaps you in the back of the head and gets your attention, and then the pastor says something, and exactly what you needed. So the pastor said this. He said, every Christian ought to be a soul winner. And it was, it's hard to explain. It was almost like a laser beam, zoom, right to me. Every Christian ought to be a soul winner. As soon as I heard that statement, the Lord seemed to say to me, now not in an audible voice, but spoke to my heart, do you claim to be a Christian? Now, I'm sitting there. No one knows anything that's happening except me and the Lord's having this conversation. Do you claim to be a Christian? Yes. Then you should be a soul winner. And I said this. Okay. It was just a logical deduction. Now, I didn't know what it meant to be a soul winner. I didn't know what it meant to be a soul winner. I've been out, making Sunday school visits. I handed out flyers, but all I knew about soul winning, here's my entire understanding of soul winning. It's something they did on Thursday nights when they went out. Because he announced it every Sunday, come out Thursday night for soul winning. So I said to myself on that Sunday morning, I said, okay, I'll come out Thursday night. I had my little Volkswagen Bug, drove to church Thursday night. Most of them were sitting down here. Most of them, there's probably 8-10 guys sitting here. The pastor had an office over here. He's in his office. And I came in. I walked down. Everyone else is in here. So I just came. It's looking back, it's a lot more funny. At that time, I just came in, sat down. Now I realize everyone's like, what's he here? What's he doing here? Who's this guy? I mean, I was just a bus kid, and I'm sitting down, and they're just kind of like looking around. I think my Sunday school teacher hopefully knew who I was. Other than that, they're like, well, I don't know. My pastor comes out of his office and goes like this. Why are you here? I said, well, I'm here for soul winning. It's Thursday night. Okay, good. You can go with me. I'll check you out and see what you're really up to. So I started going out. I went out that Thursday night. And I tell you this, from that night, now I'm not telling you I'm the greatest soul winner. I'm not telling you that that I've set the woods on fire, but I'm telling you, from that moment to this moment, my heart has been set on soul winning. I just keep going out. So let me be here at the end of the message, an advocate for the Lord. If I were to ask you this morning, do you claim to be a Christian, a born-again believer? If your answer is yes, then here's what I'm going to advocate for the Lord. Then you ought to be a soul winner. I don't know what that means. Come out Thursday, March 19th. Start learning. Be a part of it. You can do it. You need to do it. And you should do it. This is what we can do as His people. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that you help us.